Hello and welcome everybody to a new episode of our podcast series Gig Workers Guide to the Scottish Election, 5 Policies to Transform Gig Work in Scotland. My name is Xavier Villares, project coordinator and organizer of the Workers Observatory and also a former full-time delivery rider myself, and I will also be your host today. One problem with gig work is that platforms provide no accreditation or certification of skills. While workers are often highly skilled, gig work can be a career dead end. Some lack the level of language skills that will improve their ability to do their work well. The Scottish Government could incorporate gig work into its employability strategy and work with local communities, local authorities, and other agencies to expand access to skills development for gig workers. At a minimum, it should involve increasing provision of courses in English language, career development, and data and digital skills. On top of this, there are massive issues in terms of credential recognition for migrants, which makes all this even more difficult. In this episode, we'll talk about policy number 4, expanded access to skills development. For this, we have today with us Teja Sauhad, a founder member of the Riders Collective Room, and also a PhD researcher, Sachin Yadav. Hello there.
Hello.
Please, can you introduce yourselves briefly, Tejas?
Myself, Tejas Award. I'm a graduate student. I studied a master's in construction over here. I'm basically from India, Mumbai, where I had my architecture degree. So recently, I'm doing a job hunt in my field for a field job. And for the survival thing, I'm working in Burger King, and I used to do deliveries. Now also, I do sometimes. Let's see how it rolls.
Great. Sachin, tell us a little bit about your background, please.
I'm Sachin Yadav. I'm a PhD researcher at University of St. Andrews. My background is in both in engineering and also in economics. So I'm a original engineer, then became a economist. Now I'm studying how the systems of gig economy works. And that's how I focus it from a systems perspective, not basically from an economist or from the perspective of an engineer.
Great, great. Thanks, Sachin. Tejas, let's start a little bit with you. Tell us a bit more, please, about you as a gig worker and a student.
So when I started this gig work, that time I was a student. So it was kind of tough for me to manage my expenses and everything. So fees were paid as I had an education loan, but for that education loan, I have to pay it back someday. So I can't take it more from it. So something I have to do, some work I have to do. I got a job in Burger King, but that was not enough to meet the ends meet for every day. So I started doing gig working, I started doing delivery orders and all. It helped me a lot, but in earlier days it was good, but nowadays it has been too worst for all the riders, all the strategies they're playing with the riders, the manipulation, the games they are playing. So yeah, it has been tough lately. So let's see, I'll answer your other questions further.
Sure. Yeah. So you came here with already a university degree, and then you studied here your master's. But that was not enough to actually find the place that will fit well with your own skills and previous knowledge, I guess.
Yeah, the previous knowledge is not a credential or considered that much in this country. I had an architecture degree in my home country, which was a 5 years degree. So it is up to architectural level 2 assistant level. But here it's not even considered. So yeah, I feel that's a bad thing.
I see. Well, what was your experience navigating the system in terms of upskilling? Because you came here, as you say, to do this master's. So.
Yeah. So upskilling thing, that not everything is bad. I got to learn too many things when I came here. In fact, in my Burger King job also, when I became a manager, I got to learn how to run a system, a business, how to run a restaurant, how to schedule the shifts, how to conflict the daily things, how to assess and everything. But even in Deliveroo, I got to learn so many things, how to be good with the city roads, how to be good with the traffic rules and everything, the road knowledge and everything. So yeah, it was a good thing.
Well, you keep learning every day here. That's great. Sachin, following your research, what are the main problems that gig workers face when trying to transfer their skills to find a new job here?
Gig workers face several problems at the same time. I would say as human beings, there are a lot of technological changes happening and it's very hard to cope up with all those changes. And it's also affecting gig work in general, how to cooperate with each other, with this economic system itself, how to cope up with technology. So the first problem I would frame is social networking. They are finding it hard to cooperate with each other. They are living in isolation, I would say, with amongst their colleagues, which they are supposedly working with. Same is with the system or algorithm itself. They are not in direct contact with some kind of human manager, but managed by an invisible algorithm, which they don't know how it works, which creates a problems of confidence. They do not have the confidence to build up their skills. And that comes from that they are not visible or they do not recognize their own skills which they are developing while working in the gig economy or while doing the job which they know how to precisely do, why they are doing it, how they are doing it. But as they are not confident, this invisibility comes. Also, it's the technology which brings this invisibility because they do not know how their data is governed, how it's used. They cope up with this system in their own ways. And this is the main problem behind their precarity of the work, I would say, which leads to lack of skills or lack of upskilling and problems in further career for them.
Yeah, I guess that, well, you were mentioning the algorithmically managed systems. I guess that not having a manager that may say, you've been doing this great, someone else should hire you. You know, I guess that's a big issue for any rider. You can be the best delivery rider in the city and nobody knows.
Yeah, feedback is always a great way of learning. Our learning system is dependent on a feedback from someone, a supervisor, a teacher or something, and then you try to improve it. As the feedback is general in this case, it depends on metrics, whether you delivered, not delivered, on time, not on the metrics of skills which someone can, let's say, capture it in real time.
And what's the role played by the platforms in improving this? Has there been any steps took by platforms to actually improve this experience for the delivery riders?
There are some cases where platforms do play this role, but they are not the platforms which are big or more general scalable. Those are just some isolated events happening in some cities in Spain or Italy, or very isolated events where platforms do try to care about those upskilling. But in general, it's more or less non-existent because from platform perspective, they are not thinking about the human resource as such as the problem or that doesn't affect their business model. So they don't care about upskilling or downskilling or skills as a general.
Okay, thanks. That's very relevant, Sachin. Tejas, have you felt supported by the platform company, Deliveroo, Uber Eats, whoever, to achieve a change in your life? Been offered any course or anything that you think that
No. Like there is no skills upgrade or anything that they're teaching us or anything. Any soft skills or once we are doing it in our day-to-day life, we are developing those soft skills like talking to a customer, like how we represent ourselves, how we deliver the orders, the rules, how we follow the regulations. But there is no certified thing for it that we can't say anyone and they'll believe us that we know all these things. There should be some credential, something that authenticate that we are doing this from this time and we are learning the skills. There should be, I feel.
Yeah, totally. Going back to something that we mentioned before, you know, you're an architect. What issues are you facing in getting these credentials recognized here? What are the prospects for you?
Yeah, like according to UK, architecture degree in UK is for 3 years. And then you have to do a master's degree, which is of 2 years. So in all, it's 5 years. Then you will get recognized as level 2 architect. Whereas in India, I got an architecture degree of 5 years. So I am already on level 2 level, but it's not getting recognized years because I feel what are the genuine points, I feel they are valid, is like the rules and regulation for the construction industry in here is different from back in India, but not everything, right? The concepts, the like all the fundamentals, everything, the design principles, they are the same thing, they are the basic things. So those should be recognized at least. But herein, if I come from an international country being an architect, I have to give like again the level 2, I have to get a master's in architecture over here, then I have to work for 2 years, and then I have to give the level 3 exam again, and then I'll be a rebar chartered architect. So it's like a 5-6 years more long process. So I feel that should not be the thing. Like they should at least give some credential to the degree back in there. They can have some smaller test of rules and regulation in UK, the construction regulations. So through which they can like certify us. But the whole thing which they're having now is a too big, lengthy process. So yeah.
I see. Sachin, going a little bit more technical here, since you know very well the topic, do you think the skills and governance models being developed by gig workers today could shape how we think about algorithmic accountability and worker power more broadly?
Yeah, gig workers have this massive opportunity of leading the way in terms of workers' right. I feel we already been through a technological change in terms of digital world, as we are very well connected with rest of the world, with each other, but our economic model didn't catch up to the technological change. So today all our big companies, including in gig work, in terms of revenue are very big, but in terms of workers they employ 1,000 or hundreds sometimes, as it used to not be the case before in industrial revolution third or second or first, but in third, in this digital revolution, the companies are bigger or the scale of economies are bigger because of the interconnectedness, but the human needed is very less. As economic model didn't catch up, so is the policy changes, legal changes, and also the implementation of those legal and policy changes haven't happened yet, and those creates problems for gig workers. And with their own, let's say, cooperation with themselves, gig workers can create some governance models or some upskilling initiatives which can lead the way and can be implemented in other forms of worker rights. It needed to be much more imaginative, I suppose, and innovative rather than regressive. Those economic models, because those cannot be implemented, or the same models which were developed for second industrial revolution or first, cannot be implemented now. So we need to rethink legal changes needed, the policy changes, and how those can be implemented.
Well, I guess that, yeah, from the point of view of the knowledge, I guess that workers are producing a lot of knowledge that these platform companies are able to transform and profit, basically selling data or mapping the city. But it's very extractive, you know, in the sense that the workers are stuck there doing this thing. The companies are consistently hiding information when working, for example, and all this is also preventing, I guess, workers to take, you know, further actions and expand their own capacities, I guess, as workforce.
Yeah, I think first thing which we need is more transparency, because we can talk about the changes what needed in terms of legal policy and education system, but first we need to recognize there is no transparency. We don't know how the system is working today, whether it's economic or technological or any system. We just don't have any idea what is the scale, what is the strength, how things are moving, how transactions are happening, whether in terms of data or in terms of monetary. We don't know it. First, I think we need to have those transparency rules, and then those debates will be much more relevant in terms of what kind of changes we can propose or impose.
Okay, so I guess we have here a platform company that is not very transparent in the way that they manage things. We have workers which are in a situation where this information are not available to them, and they end up like easily in this dead end or working and the gig work because as a gig worker because there's a way to survive whilst doing other things. I guess that's a little bit where we are right now. So a question for you both. What do you think that the new Scottish government could do to enhance the opportunities of gig workers in terms of upskilling?
So according to my point of view, I feel like the government should take charge in this and make it first thing is don't keep it self-employed. I feel the government, the companies who are having this workers should like at least pay them a base pay. Like they should at least get the employability rights from the companies they are working for. Even the model is like a self-employed model, but it doesn't run like that. Eventually, at the end of the day, we are working for them. We are generating revenue for them and we are just getting a small share of it. But we ain't owning anything or we ain't getting any support from them. So I feel like if it doesn't stay self-employed, it will be more of like employability. They can have a 0 hour contract or 0 order contract, but at least there should be a contract and then they will get the medical help and all the rights and all the facilities other employees are getting. I feel government should take initiative and do something in it. Even if they don't want to make it an employability thing, they don't want to remove the self-employment thing, they can add some business model to it. They can do some regulations into it. And so that the workers, the gig workers who are doing these jobs would get a better benefits from these companies and they would take care of it.
I see. Sachin?
I think new Scottish government can do a lot of things. There are things constrained because a lot more power in terms of gig work or employability sits in London, not in Scotland. But still, they can, in my point of view, they can enhance transparency because there are legal changes which they cannot make in terms of workers' rights, which I understand. Tejas is right in his point of view that they should do it, but we live in a constitutional country, so they do not have themselves those right to change certain things, but they can certainly enhance the transparency first of all and can initiate the debate on workers' right in terms of fairness, or they can implement their own fair work principles which Scottish government already have it.
Yeah, and in terms of more specifically about upskilling, what do you think that are that the government could help or the authorities to help a rider to end the year or two or the time that they are doing this in a better position to actually get the job that they want? Because yeah, one of the things that we are seeing is that a vast majority of the riders right now, delivery riders, they are doing this on a basis that they think or they are sure that this is going to be only for a while, not a forever job. Is turnover is massive among riders. We know this. So for the time that you are actually doing that, how do you think that the government or could also the platform even do something to help these workers to be in this better position when they finish?
I would again answer the same, that they just need, the first principle is just be transparent, because that's where the core of the problem lies. Because if we don't know the problem, I cannot give you any solution if I don't really know the problem. And most of the PhD researchers or all the research which are going on currently, the first thing everyone cites is that the lack of transparency, that we just don't know.
Transparency. Tejas?
I feel like they should start something like how we do for Room, what we started. If the Deliveroo, this platform themselves had a meet and greet session once in a while, the people can come together, the skills they can share, they can help each other learn a few more things. If I'm looking jobs in construction, someone has a business in construction, just doing it as a side gig, the Deliveroo thing, they can refer me. So if they make connections, the network will grow. It will help each other. So I feel they should take steps into this. Like they recently, they ain't doing anything about it. So like, instead of getting their job done, they should help the people who are helping them back. So I, at the end of the day, I don't feel the platforms are thinking about this because they don't want their riders to leave. They don't want their riders to get a new job, so they won't do delivery. They want more riders, they want more deliveries. So I feel that might be the reason they ain't taking any initiative in these things. Also, they can do a basic thing like when someone opens their account, they can ask, there should be a prompt. Are you want to do this? How long you want to do this? Or what's your goal through this gig work? What you want to achieve through this? A job, a house, whatever it is, a saving, you want to get debt free, at least a prompt. So which will give them idea what this person is looking for. Then later on, they can give them notification that you working more than 40 hours a week, you should focus on your things. So that might be a thing which can help.
I see. And Tejas, being a gig worker while trying to work on something else is a tough pathway. What have you found useful in your journey that may inspire other delivery riders to find their own way?
I would say don't stop. Just keep the grind on. It's gonna like get you to the place you aiming for. So that there might be days which are too bad. Like I have been through the days which feels too depressing. Nothing turns out good. You feel like everything is stuck. But don't stop. That's not the time. You have to keep on grinding. And at a moment, you'll see the light is on the other side. I feel, yeah.
That's great. Is there anything else that you want to share here today, guys?
I think I will be happy to end it with this optimistic note by Tejas. I would just add that be the life also, just not go for the grind. It's a good to have a balance between a grind and living the life or enjoying the life, I would say.
Very important. Okay. Well, thank you very much, both Tejas and Sachin, for being here today.
Thank you, Xavi.
Thank you so much, Xavi.
In the next episode and last episode of the series, we'll discuss a proper picture of gig work in Scotland. To read the platform of 5 policies launched by delivery workers in Edinburgh, you can go to workersobservatory.org, Holyrood 2026. Please follow us on social media, Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, Blue Sky, Workers Observatory. And if you are a delivery rider in Edinburgh, please join Room. Links for all of these will be shared in the description. Thanks for listening.